The Lord be with you.
And with your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Lord,
when John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Jesus said to them in reply, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The Gospel of the Lord. So I want to start with that first reading from the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah, we've been working through Isaiah in this season of Advent. Isaiah says that this is what will happen one day. He said, Here is your God. He comes with vindication. Now remember, in the season of Advent, we're celebrating the coming of the Lord, the threefold coming of our Lord. I preached on that 2 weeks ago. The very word Advent comes from the Latin advenire. It means to come towards. And we're celebrating three different comings of Christ. We're looking forward to celebrating his first coming at Christmas, but we're celebrating also looking forward to, in fear and trembling, and joy and expectation, his second coming at the end of the world. But also there's that middle coming, that he comes to us in the sacraments, right? So the threefold coming that we're celebrating in Advent, Isaiah says, he comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. But then listen carefully to what he says. He comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf will be cleared, the lame will leap like a stag, and the tongue of the mute will sing. He says those four things are going to happen when the Lord comes. Now let's fast forward to the gospel. John the Baptist is in jail. He's been arrested for for doing all sorts of things, but especially ticking off the Tetrarch for calling him out on his adulterous relationship. So he's in jail. John the Baptist sends his disciples to Jesus and basically says, Are you the Christ? Yes or no? Are you the Messiah? It's the same word. Christos is the Greek. Messiah is the Hebrew. It means anointed one. Are you that person about whom all of the prophets have spoken? Are you that person who has finally come to save us? Yes or no? Just puts the question straight to Jesus. And instead of answering the question directly by saying, well, yes, I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. I am the anointed one. What does Jesus say? He says, go and tell John what you hear and see. And then he names off some things. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. Those same things from Isaiah. Instead of just answering the question directly by saying, well, yes, I am the Christ, he says, what do you see? Go tell John what you've seen. You know what the prophets say. You know what Isaiah says. Isaiah says that when God comes, when the Messiah comes, this stuff will happen. The eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be cleared, the lame will leap, the tongue of the mute will sing. So Christ says, yes, obviously I am, but my actions speak to that. What my preaching has brought speaks to that. He says, don't take me on my own word. Just, oh yeah, okay, we asked Jesus the question. He says, yes, I am. He doesn't say that. He says, go and tell John what you hear and what you see. Now, how appropriate that we have this reminder today when we're celebrating a baptism. Baptism is, of course, the beginning of our life in Christ, We are grafted onto Christ's body. We become members of the church. We don't become full members of the church until we've received all three sacraments of initiation. But we begin our membership in the church at baptism. We are grafted onto the most precious body of Christ. But it's just the beginning. It's not magic. And it's important for us to remember whenever we celebrate a baptism what it is and what it isn't. It's not magic. It doesn't mean you're automatically going to heaven. And the reverse is also not true. Those who are not baptized are not automatically going to hell. Right? It's the beginning of what should be a whole life of showing God and others with our actions that we are Christians. We should be able to give the same response to anyone who would ask us, are you a Christian? We should be able to give the same response that Jesus gave. What do you hear and see? We shouldn't have to say, well, yes, I am a Christian. We should be able to say, what do you see? I give God the highest priority in my life. I go to Mass every single Sunday. I spend some time in prayer every single day. I support the church. I give my 10% to take care of Christ's holy bride, the church. I try to live a good, holy life. I take care of the poor. I exercise the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. We should be able to say that. We shouldn't have to say, well, yes, of course I'm a Catholic. Look here at this cross I'm wearing or whatever. No, we should be able to say, just what kind of life do you see me living? And it's important for us when we celebrate a baptism to remember that, again, it's not magic. It's important. It configures us to the person of Christ. But it's really just the beginning of what should be a whole life of living out that faith for others to see. Let me tie in the second reading briefly. Letter from St. James. You know, Martin Luther tried ripping out the letter of St. James from the Bible. And you want to know why? Because in the letter of St. James, who wrote what we heard as our second reading today, St. James says that great line. He says, faith without works has no power to save someone. He says, we can't just go around and saying, yes, I'm a Christian. And even if that faith is actually in our hearts, let's give people the benefit of the doubt. Let's assume there is actually that faith in their hearts. That's not enough. It can't just be in our hearts. It has to manifest itself in those good works. Someone should be able to look at our lives and say, yes, that person is a Christian. And I'll wrap up with this. On the way in, one of the little girls coming in, I didn't even catch her name. She said, Mommy, look, he's wearing pink. And I said, yes, we match. She's wearing pink too. I said, today is actually one of only 2 days in the entire liturgical year when we wear pink. Although technically it's called rose. It's not actually called pink, but I am secure enough that you can call it pink if you want. But it's one of the 2 days in the entire liturgical year, once halfway through Advent and once halfway through Lent. Those two penitential seasons in which we're normally in purple, penitential color, halfway through we take that break and we wear that subdued purple, that rose, to remind ourselves that we're not just doing penance for the sake of penance. We're doing penance for the sake of preparing to celebrate this great feast. We should have a certain joy in our penance. And that's why today is called Gaudete Sunday, or the vigil of Gaudete Sunday. It means rejoice. And in the fourth Sunday of Lent, halfway through Lent, it's called Laetare Sunday. It means the same thing, rejoice. In the midst of these penitential seasons, the church is saying, you're not just doing penance for the sake of penance. You're doing penance for the sake of preparing to celebrate these great joyous feasts. As the opening prayer said, we're getting ready to celebrate these great feasts, that Christ has come into the world, that the long-expected Messiah has come, and he's coming again at the end of the world, and he's coming again today in the sacrament of baptism for Emma. He's coming again today in the Eucharist for those of us who are Catholic and disposed to receive communion. He's coming every single day to visit us. That's why we should rejoice, brothers and sisters, because that long-expected Messiah has come. The blind have regained their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them.